This is Alive with Joseph.
Amen. Okay, let's get into scriptures this morning as we, look at what the Lord has to say to us. You know, there's something on my heart. I believe that God wants to, speak to mothers this morning. And Mother's Day is always a very, a complex day of mixed emotions. You know, for some, it is celebration. For others, it is grief. And for some, it is also, a moment where they get to, they're missing their moms who have passed on. Amen. But I've been speaking to the Lord, and I'm trusting God that He gives me the wisdom to best steward this moment. Hallelujah. So today, as we celebrate the wonderful gift of motherhood and the important role that mothers play in our lives, it is a day to honor and to show appreciation to all mothers for all they have done and for all they continue to do. So today I want us to look at a story that, arrested my heart as I was preparing for this day. My plan was not to teach on Mother's Day, but I could sense that the Holy Spirit was leading me to do this. So let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 25. I'll do my best not to preach it, but whatever the Lord will have me do, I will do. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 25, from verse 32 to 35. I read, David said to Abigail, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has kept me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak." Then David accepted from her hand what she had brought him and said, "Go home in peace. I have heard your words and granted your request." Amen. And when you look at our society today, I believe that God is waking us up to come to terms with rejecting the notion that struggles, stress, and strain should become a social norm for women. And I believe that when we fully embrace these, we will be able to say to the women in our lives, to the mothers in our lives, that life doesn't have to be easy, but also life doesn't have to be this hard. Life doesn't have to be easy, but at the same time, it does not have to be this hard. So this morning, we're looking at what I titled, "Help Her Out." Amen. And I'm not suggesting that women does not have to do anything when I say, life doesn't have to be this hard for women. But rather what I'm saying is a call to every one of us, that women, that mothers, don't have to do everything. We admire women for being strong. But one thing we do not realize and recognize is that strength is always not their preference. Actually, strength for many women is a necessity. Strength for many women is a necessity. We admire them for strength, but strength for them is a necessity. It is something that they have to come to see as a necessary evil. So they are not strong because they want to be strong. They are strong because they have to be strong. They are not strong because they want to be strong. They are strong because they will not be able to survive if they were not strong. So strength is not something that would have been their preference, but they are forced to be strong because if they are not strong, they will not have survived. Mothers are strong because they will not have advanced beyond where they are if they were not strong. They are strong because our women have had to carry things that they were never meant, or they were never taught. They never thought that they would be the ones carrying it. So they are forced to be strong, not because strength was their preference, but because, we have layered it on them and they have no choice to be strong. Some of these women don't even know how much strength they have until they hit a season and situations in their life that requires them now to reach down deep into the reservoir of their spiritual and emotional wells and pull out strength to be able to carry the things they never expected they were supposed to carry. They carry things that they never expected or thought that they should have carried. And often we admire mothers because of their ability to multitask, and we fail to realize and also recognize that the skill is not always a preference, it's a necessity. The skill to multitask by women, by mothers, is always not a preference, but it is a necessity. So we applaud them because of their resilience. We applaud them because of their resolve. We applaud them because of their ability to be able to push through, press through, and not stop when they deal with even health issues. We applaud them for all of that. But one of the things we do not understand is it is always not a preference. It is a necessity. Let's celebrate all our mothers this morning, please. Please, let's every man put those hands together and celebrate every woman in the house, please. Hallelujah. The reason they don't stop, even when they are sick, is not because they don't want to stop. It is simply because they don't, it is not because they don't want to stop, they don't need to stop. It is simply because they know that if they stop, everything will stop. So they push through, even when their body is telling them not to push through, because when they stop, everything stops. So they keep on going. Listen, friends, it is easy for sisters to find themselves in seasons, situations where they are overwhelmed, overextended, exhausted, and at the same time, you discover that they are not receiving the proper amount of empathy that they ought to receive. Why? Because often we do not value or see the things that they go through with in our lives. For every single mother out there, there is a brother. When you see any single mother, there is a brother who walked away. For every single mother who is laboring to take care of one child, children, two children, or doing one thing or another, it's a man who ran out of his life, who ran out of her life, who put her in a family way, pregnanted her, and took off. No form of risk. I know, one of the things I do not appreciate is young men who pregnant ladies and run away. You know, if I discover that you will never be my friend. A couple of young pastors, I told them, don't call me again. I don't want to have anything to do with you until you go and see your child. Whatever you're preaching is rubbish until the day you go and take care of your child. So for every single mother, they didn't produce that child on their own. It's a brother who ran away. And if you're here, you run away from your children, you better return back. After this service, you must go back and go look for that child and do the right thing. Give Jesus praise this morning. Oh, man, today is your service. You know, I've been fighting for you. But today, hallelujah. Amen. And I can preach that with boldness because I've never run away from my children. I've been in their lives and I'll continue to be in their lives. Amen. So for every single mother out there, there is a brother who walked away without accepting responsibility. So what do you do when you are overwhelmed? What will a mother do when they are overextended and exhausted? And yet the people that have exhausted them don't even have empathy for them. So this morning, I came to say to everyone seated in this sacred space, it is time that you and I help that woman out. It is time that we help that mother out. It is time that we help that sister out. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. So when you look at our text in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 25, our text introduces us to a woman named Abigail who is an asset. She is not just an asset just because she is a woman. She is an asset in so many ways. So Abigail is an asset because of the kind of woman she is. And I've come to understand that every woman is not the same kind. Every woman is not the same kind. And Solomon, who have an experience in woman affairs, you know, he has 1,000 women is not an ordinary thing. So this man who have an experience in woman affairs and managing women, you know, he had 300 wives or 700 wives, 300 concubines, I don't know how it is. But all in all, this man had 1,000 women. He tells us in Proverbs chapter 14 verse 1, the wise woman built a house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears down the house. So notice what Solomon tells us here. He says to us, one is wise and another is foolish. One is wise, another is foolish. The wise one is constructive. The foolish one is destructive. And I pray any woman here that is carrying a mantle of destruction, I deliver you in the name of Jesus. As I set you free in the name of Jesus, I declare you will be constructive in the name of Jesus. The wise one is an asset. The foolish one is a liability. So every kind is not the same kind. So when we talk about Abigail, we are talking about a woman of wisdom. When you look at how the Bible describes Abigail, it is a description that debunks some, you know, contradiction that people will always have, you know, based on when they see women. The Bible tells us that Abigail's description, it cancels out so many myths. Abigail's description shows to us that you can be this and that, not this or that. Abigail shows to us that you can be this and that, not this or that, because often society makes us feel that women cannot be this and that, but that women can be this or that. The Bible tells us in verse 3 of 1 Samuel chapter 25, his name was Nabal, his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman. She was intelligent, and at the same time she was beautiful. So Abigail had beauty and brains. Abigail had beauty and brains. She was not this or that. She was this and that. She is an example of a woman who, how will I put it now, who has multiple things in her life. She's an example of a woman who knows how to bring the bacon and also how to fry the bacon. She's an example of a woman who knows, you know, who has internal strength, and at the same time she has outward beauty. I declare over you, may you have such level of grace in the name of Jesus. So she was beautiful, and the Bible said she was also intelligent. She had beauty and brains. She's the kind of woman who walks into a room. She's not just a looker. She is also a lifter. Things are lifted when she walks into the room. I don't know how many women are like that in this house. That when you walk into a place, things should be lifted. Things should not go down. I pray for you today. Let that grace rest upon you in the name of Jesus. Let that grace come upon you in the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us that Abigail was externally attractive and intellectually valuable. When she shows up, help shows up. She is the personification of God's intention for the woman that was revealed to us in Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, which is God said that it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make her helper suitable for him. Helper suitable for. Now listen, this statement in Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, you know, has implications beyond Adam. It has implications beyond Adam. It is not just God suggesting that Adam needed Eve. It God simply saying to humanity that the human species needs a woman. That is, it is God looking at Adam, telling Adam that I have an assignment for your life, and this assignment cannot be carried out because what is needed to be carried, that assignment is not in you. I have put in another person what you need to be able to carry out the assignment I have for you on the planet Earth. I'm sending you a helper that is suitable for you. That is to say, the assignment in the earth that you have cannot be accomplished without somebody who didn't have what I didn't give to you. So God sent Adam to sleep, performed a surgery in him, and pulled out of him a rib, fashioned in a being, and called her Eve. And when she passed before Adam, Adam said, this surely is the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh. I pray for every man under the sound of my voice. May you see the help that God has given to you in your wife in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your amen like a believer. May you see the help God has given to you in your wife in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. So God put in Eve what he didn't put in Adam for the assignment of Adam, not necessary for the assignment of Eve. Hallelujah. So when Eve showed up, help showed up. When Eve walked in, help walked in. When Eve showed up, help showed up. Listen, sisters, you must understand that when you show up anywhere, help has arrived. You must know that you're not just beauty without brains. You're beauty with brains. That when you show up, it's not Brazilian hair that has showed up. A helper has arrived. When you show up, it's not red bottom shoe that have showed up. A helper has arrived. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Now,
The person may not see your help. It doesn't cancel out the fact that you are a helper.
Glory to God.
You don't see the wind, but you can't deny the existence of the wind. It's there. You can choose to ignore it. Your ignoring it doesn't cancel out that the wind is there. So you can be ignored even though you're a helper. It doesn't cancel out the fact that, sister, you are a helper. Give the Lord your praise this morning. You're not just a helper to the men around you, to your children. You're a helper to the kingdom of God. You're a helper to our society. We know you leave the society in the hands of men, things will destroy. Look at all the wars everywhere. Who is causing it? Is it not men? They are never tired of fighting. You ask yourself, a man wakes up and he says, where do I bomb today? Okay, let's move into Afghanistan. I don't like their face. A woman wakes up, she asks, what will I build today? That's the difference. A man wakes up, what do I scatter today? A woman wakes up and says, what do I build today? So God knew if you have left the earth in the hands of men, we all will have been gone. But now the earth will have closed down. Look at all the confusion on the earth. Look at all the confusion. Man is causing it. Man is causing it. No one woman has started any war, to the best of my knowledge, in the history of humanity. Men all over the place, causing trouble everywhere. Let's celebrate women, please. Thank God for women. So, lady, you are a helper. I say you're a helper. I say you're a helper. And when you understand that your assignment is to be an asset, your talk also changes. You will make it clear to that man, to that boy, if you don't want help, don't call me. Because if you need help, I'm here to help. But if you don't want help, don't call me. I'm a helper. Hallelujah. Don't walk into a room just to look and be pretty and keep quiet. You came into the world in such a time as this. You come into the room to add value. You came into the room for such a time as this to release wisdom that humanity needs, to release wisdom that your family needs. You came to unleash a gift. You came to turn the status quo right upside down. You came not just to look pretty. You came to change the narrative, to send help to everyone around you. And every day, I pray that every woman will embrace the help grace that God has given to them. That every woman, every day, you will embrace that grace. That God has called you, sent you as a helper, you will embrace it. Listen, friends, do you know that you having a womb as a woman was not just for you to carry a baby? You having a womb is a metaphor that you can do more than carry a baby. The womb is a metaphor. That is to say, you having a womb is God saying to you, you can carry anything. You can carry, you don't just carry a baby, you also carry dreams. You carry dreams. That is why, as a woman, you're not a baby manufacturing machine. If that is the assignment God sent you to come and be manufacturing children on the earth, then God must have been a wicked God. Your womb is not just, it's a metaphor that there is nothing you cannot incubate. There is nothing you cannot carry. My friend, there is nothing you cannot carry. Sisters, there is nothing you cannot carry. Actually, you can carry twins. When you see a woman carrying twins, it is God saying you can carry your dream and his dream together. Women carry eight in their womb. That tells you that she can carry eight visions all at once. A man can't even carry anything. He can't even carry anything. You can carry. That is, the man in your life, you can carry his dream. You can carry the dream of your children. Carry your own dream and deliver them all at once. And there will not be any premature delivery. Give Jesus praise this morning. Every sister, thunder after me, I am a dream carrier. Thunder, I am a dream carrier. God wants you not just to give birth to physical children, but also to deliver things that humanity, that will bring change to humanity. So Abigail was an asset. But here, Abigail was an asset, but here is a challenge. She is an asset, but she's connected to a liability. Abigail is an asset, but connected to a liability. Let's look at how the Bible describes her again. The Bible describes her that she was an intelligent and beautiful woman. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman. Then the Bible now says, but her husband was surly and mean in his dealings. He was a Calebite. I want that to settle. Her husband has this unhealthy concussion. Some translation will say crude. He was a crude and mean man. The NIV translation calls it surly and mean. The word surly means he had a bad temper. So how come a woman who is an asset is married to a man who is a liability? But pastor, he's not a liability because he was an extremely wealthy man. So even though the man was extremely wealthy, which is an indication of assets, even though he had assets, he himself was not an asset. And often, ladies, you keep looking for men who have assets, and you don't look for a man who is an asset. So the man had assets. He was extremely rich. But this same man was not an asset. He was not an asset. The Bible said he was a crude and mean man in all his dealings. Crude and mean man. So sisters, you must be able to differentiate between a man who has assets and the one who is an asset. Nabal was a man who had assets but was not an asset. He was not an asset. Nabal was extremely successful. But one thing what you and I must understand is and realize is that success simply means you are achieving or overachievement in one area. And overachievement in one area doesn't always translate to achievement in all areas. Success is an overachievement in one area. And that is why you must be conscious and careful. I speak to everybody here right now that, you know, you are careful who you receive wisdom from. Because just because they are winning in one area doesn't mean the person has the wisdom to speak into your life. That's what you see with the celebrities, with all of the, you know, celebrities and all of the singers. Just because Beyonce is winning Grammy Awards doesn't mean that Beyonce has what it takes to speak into your life. Just because Jay-Z is winning does in awards and being this and that, and he has $1 million or what $1 billion in his account, doesn't mean that Jay-Z has the wisdom to speak into your life. Because just because someone is achieving in one area doesn't mean they are winning in every area. So you and I must be careful who you listen to. You must be careful. And this was the case of Nabal. Hear this, friends. Some of you right now, you are in a very unique season in your life where your choices are so consequential that you have to be careful and selective when it comes to who you allow speaking to your life. You are in a critical season. You are in a critical season. Your choices must be very careful because if you don't make careful choices in who speaks into your life, you can be confused and misguided. Listen, you know, the principle of proclamation says, whoever has your ear has your future. So who are you giving your ears to? So Nabal was rich in resources, but he was poor in wisdom. He was poor in decision making. He was rich in resources. He was poor in decision making. And that is a very dangerous place for anyone to ever be in life. His problem was not that he didn't know where he was reaching. Nabal's problem was he didn't know where he was poor in. So Nabal knew where he was rich, but he didn't know where he was poor. And listen, friends, when you have overachievement in one area, one thing it does is it produces traps of success in other areas. You know, you now begin to have shadows of success, but not the substance of success. Just because someone is succeeding in one area doesn't mean that they are succeeding in every area. And if they are not careful, they will not know the areas where they are poor in. So Nabal's success in the marketplace could give him options when it comes to relationship, which means he can also take advantage of relationships. Why? Because he had income. He had income. Follow me carefully. He had income. So he could take advantage of relationships around him. And because he had income, he could live an opulent lifestyle. So people who are in relationship with him, they will look at the opulence. And because of his opulence, they conclude that the relationship they have with him is a great relationship. Even though he was treating them anyhow. So his money gave him access to be able to control relationships. Even though he was a crude and mean human being. He was crude and mean. And how do we see that in our society today? That many men have access to relate to money and resources. And the women in their life, they treat them anyhow. They treat them anyhow. They treat them anyhow. So Nabal was winning in the marketplace. And he is seeing the fruit of that win in every area of his life. And he now assumes that every area in his life was good. And it complicates things because people now surrounding him could not be able to tell him that, listen, Oga, you lack wisdom in relating with people. You lack wisdom in managing people. You lack wisdom. But because they know that his success benefits them, they keep quiet. And he finds himself in a situation where now his money and winning in the marketplace couldn't bring him out. When he went and provoked a beehive, that his money could not deliver him. But thank God for Abigail in his life. So Nabal is rich, but he doesn't know where he is poor. And there are many people like that. They are rich, they don't know where they are poor. Hear me, friends, when you don't know where you are poor in your life, you will not know where to partner with people. Many of you need to start knowing where to partner with people. Abigail, in your lives, they need to be properly put in the right place. But you must know where you are poor, or else you will not tap into the riches of Abigail that is surrounding your life. And that goes to many married men. Many married men. Because if you cannot see your poverty, you will not be able to see her wealth. And if you can't see her wealth, you will not be able to position her so that she can release her wealth into your life. So you can have an Abigail in your life and you are underutilizing her. And it happens a lot to so many married men. It happens a lot. They have Abigails around them, but they are underutilizing Abigail. There are so many sisters, I've heard them talk. I return back to Pastor Cordelia. I say, if the husband knows the treasure in this, I've just heard them talk. Why the man is treating her like a piece of furniture, and yet this woman is an Abigail, loaded with wisdom, loaded with what will take the man from the level he is and bring him to the level God has ordained for him. But because he does not know that he is poor, he now is not utilizing the grace that is on Abigail. Can you imagine if I, the pastor of our life church, didn't understand the grace that my Abigail carries? What will have happened to our life church? What will have happened to our life church? You know, there are some churches where the pastor's wife is just Mamuruti, and she has gossip groups everywhere because the Muruti only sees her as Mamuruti. Pastor Cordelia is not Mamuruti. Pastor Cordelia is my partner. And carrying out the vision of God. She is my Abigail. She sees things I don't see. Through her wisdom, I've been delivered so many times. Where I want things to scatter, she uses her wisdom. Say, no, calm me down here. Imagine if I didn't see that wisdom. Give Jesus praise this morning. Look at the EOG. One of the weapons, one of the keys that God has used to grow our life church is the extraordinary grace service. Majority of the ladies in our life church today came through EOG. Majority came through EOG. Majority of the ladies in our life church came through EOG. Not through men's call, not through men's what? Through EOG. And the women came and I have a very good example. One of the sisters in this house, through her, the husband came. Brother Chebi, through her, through the wife, Tabitha, the husband came. And now the husband, one of the strong men Alive Church has. Imagine if I didn't see the Abigail God blessed me with. I would have underutilized the wealth she carried. What would have happened? Our life church would not have been where it is today. I met one of the sisters in the church. She's a doctor. And she was telling me how she came to our life church through EOG conference in 2019. And when she came, ever since she had become a member of the church, she's even one of the heads of our departments through EOG conference. Listen, man, if you don't want to be bankrupt, not bankruptcy in terms of money, which it will translate to money sometimes anyway, you must embrace the Abigail in your life. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord praise this morning. So as we draw a conclusion here, Nabal's poverty puts him in a predicament that his wealth in the marketplace couldn't bring him out of. The area he was poor in gets him into a situation that the area he was rich in couldn't bring him out of. In that story, David helped him. His men helped him and his business. Robbers will come to want to destroy things. David and his men came and protected, Nabal and his business and everything, and did everything for him. Then there was a day he was having a feast. So David sent a message to him to ask him for some food so that him and his men can be able to feed themselves. Now, Nabal's response tells you that this man is bankrupt. Bankrupt in everything. Bankrupt. In as much as he has physical cash, he had liquid cash, he didn't have anything in his brains. And that's why, as a man, you must understand that money does not define success. Money does not define success. You having money, liquid cash, doesn't mean you are successful. You must draw wisdom from the people around you. The Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 9 to 12, quickly, it says, when David's men arrived, they gave Nabal this message in David's name. Then they waited. Nabal answered David's servant, "Who is this David? Who is this foolish boy? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away these days from their masters. Why should I take my bread and water and the meat I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where?" Can you see how insulting he is? David's men turned and went back. When they arrived, these men were wicked. They reported every word. I'm sure David said, "Look, Oga," even when he was speaking, if you see the arrogance, he said, "Who is David?" Someone said, "But you know," he even said, "Who is son of Jesse? Son of who?" They reported everything. And David did this. Verse 13. David said to his men, "Each of you, strap up your sword." So they did, and David strapped his own as well. About 400 men went up with David, while 200 stayed with the supply. Can you see how Nabal's poverty has put his family at risk? Nabal's poverty. He was bankrupt. He didn't know he was bankrupt. And his bankruptcy of wisdom has put his family at risk. The Bible said, one of Nabal's servant who had everything, he went quickly, ran to Abigail. When you look at Nabal's servants, I feel they were wise. They knew who was the head of the house, but they knew where the seat of wisdom was sitting. So even though Nabal was the head of the house, they knew that Abigail was the one having the seat of wisdom. They didn't go. They went straight to the seat of wisdom because they know that Nabal's foolishness is about to cost them their lives. And the servant came and reported everything from verse 14 to 17. One of the servants told Abigail, Nabal's wife, "David sent messengers from the wilderness to give our master his greetings, but he had hurled insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us." One thing about when people are bankrupt, they do not remember what others have done for them. They only remember what they did for others. As a man, listen, you keep saying your wife, "I did this for you, I did that for you." My friend, what about the things she has done for you? What about the things she has done for you? When people are bankrupt, they only remember what they did for others. They forget what others have done for them. And this boy began to rehearse what David had done. He said, but they hold insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us. The whole time we were out in the field near them, nothing was missing. Night and day, they were all a wall around us the whole time. We were herding our sheep near them. Now think it over. See what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him. That's how bankrupt this man was. No one can talk to him. Are you a man that nobody can talk to? Are you that kind of man? Nobody can rebuke you. When we correct you, you are angry. Is there nobody can talk to him? Nobody can talk to him. He is too full of himself. He's too full of it. He thinks his Mercedes is all that is to life. Are you a man that nobody can talk to you? We can't sit you down and rebuke you and you say, thank you, sir. And you arise and move and continue your life. We live in a generation where men are so arrogant. Nobody wants to speak to any man. Listen, if I didn't allow people speaking to my life, I would not have, my marriage would have ended. My marriage will have, the first 2 years of our marriage was hell. Hell on earth. But men like Pastor Chooks, men like Professor Shaney, men like Pastor Victor Uchebula, they will speak to me without looking at how I feel. If it's sometimes just because they are far from me, they will have hit me. Pastor Uchebula, he's coming this year. You also must know Victor Uchebula. He will have hit me. There was one time I could feel the anger from his voice. He said, if I catch you, you cannot behave like that. My wife could run to them when I misbehave. Are you the type that when your wife comes to report you to us, you leave the church? If I can't correct you as your pastor, who will correct you? Abba. There are brothers who have left this church because they were misbehaving. And the wife came and reported. Somehow he found out. Because he's always talking the wife's phone. You're that kind of a man. Be careful. You're stalking her phone as if, what is it? Are you the Hawks? He found the message the woman sent to Pastor Cody. They stopped coming to church. Because no one can correct him. If you're like that, you're already in trouble. That nobody can sit you down and correct you and tell you, enough. Stop this you're doing. Nabal's servant said, he is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him. No one can talk to him. He went to the one who has the seat of wisdom. In verse 18, the Bible said, Abigail acted quickly. She took 200 loaves of bread and 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seers of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisin, and 200 cakes of processed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. The NLT translation said, Abigail wasted no time. Now that statement looks irrelevant until you go further in our reading. That statement, she wasted no time in verse 18. You would think it's nothing. Let me come back to verse 34. Otherwise, David now speaking, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, who has kept me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, if your damage control, if you had not come quickly to do this damage control, you would have been a collateral damage. Quickly. She ran quickly. David said, if you didn't act quickly, by the time I was done, actually, I like how the King James Version put it. He said, there will not be anybody that pisses on the wall in the house of Nabal. There will be no man will be left behind. If you didn't hurry up, it will have been fatal and disastrous. Hear me, sisters, I close with this. Sometimes that intuition you are having to do it now and quickly is actually divine urgency. Act quickly. Act quickly. The man may not understand. Act quickly. Your children may not understand. Act quickly. She didn't go into prayer and fasting. She acted quickly. Sometimes the intuition is divine urgency. As some sisters here, God wants you to act quickly. And because delay is dangerous, I pray for you. May you no longer delay in the name of Jesus. I don't know what God is speaking to you about, but it is time to act quickly. I speak the last words of David to Abigail, and I declare to her sisters in this house. Then David accepted from her hand what she had brought him and said, go home in peace. I've heard your words and granted your request. I speak to every sister in this house. Go home in peace in the name of Jesus. I declare you came to the service bitter. I prophesy, go home in peace in the name of Jesus. You came here tired. You came here emotionally battered. You came here frustrated. I prophesy, go home in peace in the name of Jesus. I say, go home in peace in the name of Jesus. You came here bruised. I declare over you, go home in peace in the name of Jesus. You came here abused and cheated on. I declare this morning, go home in peace in the name of Jesus. I say, go home in peace in the name of Jesus. You came here with the burden of that rape. I prophesy by the hand of the Lord, go home in peace in the name of Jesus. I say, go home in peace in the name of Jesus. Go home in peace in the name of Jesus. The peace there in English language is what the Jews call shalom. So when David told Abigail, go home in peace, he wasn't just saying to her, there is no more conflict and war. No, no, no. What he said to her had deeper meaning. When David said to her, go home in peace, he was simply saying to her, wholeness, well-being, prosperity, and health. I declare over every sister here, receive wholeness in the name of Jesus. Receive wholeness in the name of Jesus. Your well-being is restored in the name of Jesus. Receive prosperity in the name of Jesus. Receive good health in the name of Jesus. Any sister that is going through one sickness or another, be it HIV and AIDS, I prophesy, let there be healing in the name of Jesus. Any sister going through fibroid, I declare, let there be healing in the name of Jesus. Let there be healing in the name of Jesus. Let there be healing in the name of Jesus. Go home in peace in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Go home in peace. Go home in peace. Go home in peace. I bless every mother here, every woman. I bless you. Go home in peace.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website www.alivewithjoseph.com. as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mokocha. Till next time, God bless.